iPad kids are out of control. Teachers all over the globe are reporting that Gen Alpha, which are the kids raised with this new age technology, are performing 2 times lower than their grade level.
I teach 7th grade. They are still performing on the 4th grade level.
We are watching critical thinking disappear in real time.
It feels like teaching an entire generation of weaponized incompetence.
Not only that, but the rate of teachers quitting has never been higher due to Gen Alpha's terrifying behavior, which is aggressive and defiant.
Having to teach and work with you guys as children has been the most traumatic experience of my life.
There's a lot of talk going on right now about changes with Gen Alpha, and teachers are at the forefront of it, really talking about different things that they are experiencing, they're witnessing in the classroom. And I want to go ahead and show what these teachers are saying right now. It has a lot to do with behavior issues and why they believe some of these things are happening.
Gen Alpha have been raised to believe that they are grown folks, that they can speak to whoever they want, however they want, that violence is the answer. Gen Alpha students are raised in a world that tells them that it's okay to be as nihilistic and individualistic as possible, that they don't have to care about anything or anyone, that they can speak to anybody however they want to speak to them, even though they're only 10, 11, or 12 years old. Most importantly, they are being conditioned to believe that they are immune to consequences, that there are no consequences to their poor behavior, to their rudeness, to their lack of care in completing tasks and doing well in school. They just don't care. Is this us demonizing kids for fun? No, it's not. The people that are talking about this are genuinely concerned. We are frightened for these kids. And if you're sitting back saying, oh my God, poor babies, like, I wish you would just quit talking about them because you're just being mean and it's not even helpful because kids are just kids, you are doing them absolutely a disservice to their future. This is not just an old people complaining about young people problem anymore. Young people in Generation Z, young teachers who are seeing the same thing I'm seeing with my 2 eyeballs, are talking about the same thing. You can call it an old folks complaining about young folks thing. Why are you demonizing millennial parents? Why are you demonizing Gen Alpha kids? Or you can step back and look at it from our perspective and say, gee, I wonder why there's so many people talking about the same thing. I wonder why there's so many teachers that are concerned about the same thing. We cannot even begin to talk about solutions until we admit there's a problem. Most of you whom are parents, because y'all are the ones that matter. I don't even care about the ones who are just trolls and are sitting back saying, school doesn't matter, yap, yap, yap. Mayor of Yapville, who cares? I don't care about you either. I'm talking to parents. If you are not ready to admit that there's a problem here, we cannot get anywhere near even talking about the solutions. We cannot raise a generation of kids that are this tuned out, that are this rude, that are this violent to each other, to adults, to people younger than them. We just can't do it.
The children today, I have never experienced, and I'm 22. Having to teach and work with you guys as children has been the most traumatic experience of my life. I teach 5-year-olds ballet, 5-year-old girls ballet. I have a class of 10 students. They don't respect any authority. You ask them, can you stand in your designated spot? They're telling you no and shut up. They're throwing things at each other. They're throwing things at other people, other classmates. You say, can everybody sit in their spot? I don't want to. I'm not doing that. You don't get to tell me what to do. You're not my mom. You confront the parent. The parent tries to argue with you and fuss at you because you tried to reprimand and redirect their kid. I told a young little girl, please sit in your spot. You're not my mom. You don't tell me what to do. Okay. When her mom came to pick her up, I said, hey, your daughter's having a hard time following instructions. And 7 times today, I've had to redirect her to just sit in her spot. Well, clearly she didn't want to sit. And mind you, this is a mom. Clearly she didn't want to sit right there. So, I mean, if she's telling you she don't want to do something, why keep asking her to do it? You know she's not going to do it. What world do we live in? Like, what in you guys' brain as a parent says, my kid not following any directions is a great thing. It's not that serious. And y'all don't have a right to tell her what to do. It's sad. It's sad. It's really, really sad. And another thing that's heart-wrenching is horrifying. It is horrifying. Your 5-year-old daughters are asking to listen to Pound Town. and Ski Yi. Your daughters, your five-year-old daughters are asking, can we hear Pound Town? I'm playing them Princess Tiana ballet music. And they are asking me, can we hear Pound? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I'm so scared for these little girls today because this is the most insane, insane agenda push I have ever seen in my life. We do freeze dance. You guys' daughters are twerking at five. Where is the parenting? Where is the boundaries? Where is the help? Y'all are not helping your kids. You're hurting them. You guys are hurting them. I come every day dressed, ready to go, and I'm in school too. I'm in college. I mean, I put bows in my hair. I'm wearing leotards. I'm trying to get them interested in like proper things for their age, and you guys are exposing your kids to this raunchy secular music. Why is you guys' 5-year-old daughter singing Pound Town? And it's just really, 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 it's upsetting. And I feel so bad. And I've watched different techniques. Soft skills, soft parenting, gentle parenting. I'm patient. I don't yell. I'll say, hey, you know, let's regroup. If you guys need 5 minutes, let's do some breathing. Your kids are telling me to shut up. You guys' kids are saying, I don't want to do that. I'm not doing that. You're not my mom. They're putting their hand, they're hitting each other and hitting other kids. You address the parent. The parents are telling you, you don't tell my daughter what to do. It's not that bad. Well, at least she was in the class. At least. It's all these excuses. Y'all come in and you're more worried about what's going on your Instagram and TikTok feed versus being a parent. Be a parent. Like, I'm sorry to say it, but this generation of some of the moms, not all, but majority that I've dealt with kids that are between the ages of 5 and 4 and 3, you guys don't parent your children at all. They have no basic comprehension skills. They can't sit still. No attention span. They're hitting people. They can't talk. They can't communicate. They don't even know how to say, like, I want to go to the bathroom. If you ask them a question, they're rude, nasty, horrible attitudes at 5, and they want to hear Pound Town. What are you guys doing with your kids? What are you guys literally doing with your kids? Because I have never in my life experienced something so horrible. I literally don't even want to teach ballet to you guys' kids anymore because they are so hard to work and deal with. And I literally see why the teachers are quitting and your kids are getting expelled and kicked out. Because it's no way, it is literally no way that this is happening and you guys don't see any issue with it. So please tell me, as an educator, a teacher, and I'm just a ballet teacher. I'm not a regular trained institutional teacher. I'm teaching 5-year-olds ballet and these are all the problems starting now and it's no change happening. So what needs to be done and happen to fix this issue? Please, somebody tell me, somebody make it make sense, because I'm telling you, I'm this close to quitting and saying I'd never want to work with people's kids again, because this has been the most horrible experience. I've never dealt with an experience like this. Listening to raunchy music around your kids needs to stop. Applauding bad behavior needs to stop. Not giving your kid your attention, but throwing an iPad at them or a tablet because you don't want a parent needs to stop. I'm coming on here and I'm begging you guys, I'm asking you to really please make a change. Make a change. Your kids' lives are depending on it for y'all to make a change. Please make a change.
It feels like teaching an entire generation of weaponized incompetence. Because what do you mean you can't just reread the directions that I strained my voice to read out loud 3 times? What do you mean you can't just look at the rubric that I made that shows you exactly how to get a grade, and I said if you even wrote a few sentences, you could get a 1, which is a D? The security guard stopped by and he was kind of like shocked at how confused the kids were. It's an alternate ending to The Outsiders. You get to do whatever you want, and you were given enough information, notice, and preparation. Now you can just sit down and write anything you want. Ponyboy does this, Johnny doesn't die, whatever you want to do. And they're just sitting there like this. And I can't help that. And so I just told him, like, you need to pick up the pencil and write. I can't help you. You need to pick up the pencil and write. The only metaphor I could think of to try and motivate them was that every year my kids have 2 sets of grandparents. One set of grandparents just gets a blank happy birthday card, and then they write love, grandma. The kids don't keep those cards. The other grandparents get detailed cards and write, on the day you were born, I love you so much. My kids keep those cards. You guys are going to be the grandparents that just writes love, grandma, because you can't even pick up the pencil and write. I even told them if they can't think of anything, they should write once upon a time and then just write whatever. I even told them you can just write what did happen in the story. And I had kids really sit here and do nothing. And then I go, okay, that's it. That's the only time you get. And they looked at me like, huh? How, like, what? When are you ever going to pick up the pencil and write? They don't intend to. If you let them do it online, they 100% cheat. Obviously, I've caught them cheating so many times, they don't try that now, because that's the only way I give a 0. I will give you a 50% a lot of times, but if you copy and you waste my time, 0.
Here are my 2 cents on AI in schools, particularly in the high school level, because that's what I teach. I'm going to start with saying that teachers are not afraid of AI because we hate technology. We are scared because we are watching critical thinking disappear in real time. AI is everywhere. We cannot pretend like it doesn't exist, and we can't put the genie back in the bottle. So we are trying to lean into it. We are trying to teach kids how to use AI ethically, but that is so much easier said than done. The problem is that the lines are so blurred. A lot of students like genuinely do not know where help ends and replacement begins. And when we give them an inch, they take a mile. Not because they're bad kids, because they're kids, and the temptation is enormous. And I sometimes find myself like asking, like, am I just that angry old man like shaking my fist angrily at the sky? Because when I was in high school, my math teachers would say, you got to know how to do this because you're not going to have a calculator in your pocket. Well, guess what? I have a calculator in my pocket at all times. But what I've realized is that it's not a fair comparison, because calculators replace computation after we learned how math worked. AI shows up before students ever learn how to think through a problem. And the part that keeps teachers up at night, at least like sane teachers, is not cheating. We're not like out to be like, gotcha, how many kids can I catch to like ruin their lives? What we are witnessing is that students are now incapable in sitting in any kind of intellectual discomfort. And that's concerning. A confusing sentence, a bad first draft, we could give them a fun writing prompt and they'll turn to AI for it, because like, it's too much work. It's too much intellectual legwork. Learning is supposed to be uncomfortable. The struggle is where confidence and independence and actual understanding comes from. AI is not inherently bad, but when it becomes the first step instead of last support, that is when we lose something incredibly important. And what really scares me is not AI in the classroom. It's the idea of raising a generation that never learned how to think through uncertainty. Innovation does not come from instant answers. It comes from people who sit with tough questions. If we lose that, we don't just lose academic skills, we lose future problem solvers. So what does that mean for us as a society when innovation stops? Because we now lack the workforce of critical thinkers. We are not just talking about grades and cheating. We are talking about who is going to innovate, who is going to create, who is going to solve these really difficult societal problems when the answer is not obvious. Who is going to do the work that actually moves society forward if no one learned how to think without a shortcut? This is so much bigger than what's going on in school. If students never learn how to struggle through ideas, how to think critically, how to trust their own minds, then who becomes the innovators? Who builds the next breakthroughs? Who solves the problems that we have not even named yet? And that's why this conversation matters. And that's the part that really should make us all feel a little bit more existential. We as teachers, we are not afraid of technology, but we are very afraid of what happens when critical thinking becomes optional.
The reason teachers are leaving is not because of teacher pay. And I will tell you why. I'm a band director, which means I get paid more than most teachers. It's an incentive to show up and stay late, for sure. But it's not enough. Even if every teacher in the state of Texas got a $10,000 raise per year, we would still be dealing with some of the same issues we're dealing with right now. Let me just tell you what I've been dealing with in the last 48 hours. There's a list. Yesterday, I broke up an assault in my band hall. Not a fight, an assault. A kid punching another kid in the head at least 4 or 5 times. Some mystery kid decided to get creative over the last 12 hours when I wasn't paying attention and literally took every single string off of every single French horn that we own, making them unplayable. I set up a drum set station for my percussionists. I was so excited because they have been begging me all year to play drum set. Took 24 hours for somebody to break the hi-hat. People stealing and using instruments that aren't theirs, even if it's in a locker. I had another kid hit somebody else in the face when their trumpet was on their face because they were blowing it in their direction. I had another kid in the same class flip me off and then try to lie about it. And before you come at me in the comments saying, I knew what I signed up for, yeah, I do get it. But I've been told from multiple people on my campus that the band kids are the best acting, well-behaved students on campus, and I still have to deal with this garbage every single day. This is not a money problem. It's not an admin problem. It's not a parent problem. It is an emotional dysregulation problem. Never in my 13 years of teaching have I ever had such a problem with kids keeping their hands to themselves and keeping them from destroying property. I understand they're kids, and part of our job is to keep them regulated and to teach them how to do it, but I have repeated myself so many times this year. I have posted things on the wall. I've given them lectures. I've written them up. I've failed them. The corrective measures that we've used in the past do not work anymore. These kids do not care if they fail. They do not care if they're written up. They do not care if they get OSS. The only thing that most of them care about is how they're going to be entertained in the next 5 minutes of their life. And I try not to be a millennial teacher that blames technology because I am steeped in technology. I love TikTok. I use technology in my class all the time. But it's as if some of these kids have literally given up on life. It's like they've given up on doing anything special, and they're 12. They're 12. I was so excited to start this year because I wanted to make some kind of an impact and get back into the classroom, but I feel like I've been chasing my tail all year. I love my kids, but I'm beaten and abused and tired. The system doesn't work, and we are failing them and the teachers. We're failing teachers too.
You're not gonna believe what this student did to me today at school. Disclaimer, he is not a student of mine. He is a student that was supposed to be in a class across the hall from me. This actually happened during passing period. I had just greeted my students at the door, and I was speaking to another student of mine about some missing assignments that she had. She was standing right next to me. Again, we were standing still at the door. The student was in the hallway, and I was standing right by my door. When I see another student pass by me right in front of me, and he goes into my class, mind you, he is not a student of mine, so I immediately ask him to leave my class and to please go to his correct class. He knew exactly where he needed to be, and he made the choice to come into my classroom. As he is finally exiting, he decides to stop right in front of me where I'm standing at the door. And you guys already know, I'm only 3'3" tall. Now, these are students who are about to go into high school. This student is very, very tall, and he gave me no personal space. And what I mean by that was that he intentionally stood right in front of me, and we were probably about 2 inches away from him rubbing his private parts in my face. And he did this with a smirk on his face. So I know for a fact that he did it intentionally. This was no accident. He had plenty of space to walk on the side of the door, but instead he chose to stand right in front of me, looked down on me, and almost rubbed his parts on me. I did not even put my hand in front of him or anything. I instead went back like this because I didn't want to be accused of me touching his parts. So instead I went like this. And the other student who was speaking to me actually told him, dude, that's gross, because she saw what happened. She was my witness. Anyways, I said a lot of things to him and I asked him to please step away from me and to not ever come back into my classroom. He, of course, denied it and went finally into his classroom. I immediately called the teacher that I knew had him, and I gathered the information to call home. And this is why I'm making the video. It is so important that parents do their part. I want to tell you, as a teacher, I will never take time out of my day to call and lie about your child, ever. And you best believe most teachers will never do that. Okay, so if I'm taking the time out of my day to call you, it's because this actually happened. Luckily, the mom was very supportive and she immediately called him over to the phone to apologize to me. And he still had the nerve to deny it. He said he didn't do anything, he was nowhere near me, all these stories. Luckily, I had a witness, so, you know, points for me. But mom did the right thing of backing me up and helping him understand that what he had done was still wrong. And I praise this mom for doing the right thing and for putting him in his place, because he knew better. This is an eighth grader about to go into high school, very soon to be an adult. If he does this as an adult, he is going to end up in jail. And he is lucky that I'm not pressing charges, because that is harassment. And so I want to tell you, parents, if your child's teacher ever calls you to tell you that your son or daughter did something at school, please believe them, because we have no reason to lie. Hold your child accountable and make them realize that what they've done is wrong, and make them make it right. Because if you don't do that, if you don't take the necessary steps, when they in fact become adults, they're going to face the harsh reality. So anyways, this had never happened to me, and I definitely submitted a report to admin, and they are handling the situation. But again, parents, do your part. This mom did her part, and I appreciate her for doing that. She is doing her son a favor by correcting him right now. He still didn't take accountability, but she at least tried. Anyway, let me know what you think about the situation. What would you have done differently, maybe? Or what would you have done if this was your child?
Today I did something as a teacher that I told myself I was never gonna do. And I really think that like only teachers will understand, because like this sounds so bad when I say it, but like I don't know what else to do in these situations. And I hate to be that person, but when I was in high school, 2015, 2019, I do not remember a singular class I was ever in where kids did this to the teacher. And I'm not kidding, like today I'm just now realizing, I'm like, this is an every week occurrence in my class, I'm pretty sure. With every assignment, everything that we do, this happens at least once a week where kids just don't wanna do it. And instead of just being like, oh my god, like I feel like when I was in high school, kids would be like, bro, if we were like annoyed with something. But most of the time we didn't really do that, because it's like, we're in school, what else would we be doing besides work? Like, what do you mean at school? Anyway, I get that it's the end of the year, teachers are burnt out, kids are burnt out, they are so tired of testing, and they're just teenagers. I get that. If you know me, you know my whole driving force of teaching is loving your students. But this year has taught me that that's just not enough sometimes. You can love them, and they can love you so much, they feel like they can talk however they want to, do whatever they want to, treat however they want to. And I'm learning this year that there really is a very healthy balance of loving them and also being strict and not tolerating things. And this is my fault, because this is the end of the year and this should not still be happening. But it is, and I'm honestly just now realizing it. So we have 8 days of school left at this point. We're reading the graphic novel for the Odyssey. We're doing whole class reads, some independent reads. Like, we're talking about it every day. I'm talking them through every single book. Every day on the daily agenda slot, it has said reading quiz on Friday. And this is just necessary for me to see where they're at. But not only that, they need to see where they're at. This quiz should be very easy. It's 20 multiple choice questions. If they think this is easy, then they're good. They're on the right track. They're going to do great on our last two big grades. Mind you, this is the end of the year. I was like, if it's hard for you, then you know you need to take this book home, read it, watch some summary videos. I'll link them on daily agenda slot. Like, you need to take it home and you need to read, because we're finishing this next week. And these are your last two grades in my class, and they're big grades based on the book. So today it's time for their quiz. And like some classes, it's fine. They take the quiz, like it's whatever. And then other classes, it's just not two, not five, like 10 to 20 to 30 kids just yelling at me all at once. And sometimes they wonder when I get in bad moods. And I'm like, I just want anyone to imagine that many people just yelling at you. You're one person standing up in front of the room. Everyone else is sitting down, directing all of this at you for doing your only job. And I tolerate it. Like I tolerate this all year. And today was just the first time I realized that this is crazy. Like, why do I let this happen every week? So they're all shielding, like, oh my God, this is so dumb. I wanted to do this. Like, oh my God, like yelling at me. This is so stupid. Like, why? Like, why are we doing this? And like always, at first I was like, y'all, like, I know it's so annoying. And I explained all that. I should explain to y'all. It's like reading check, go in the grade book as a daily assignment grade, like not a quiz grade. And then I was about to hand the quizzes out and people were still just like kind of yelling at me. And I finally just paused and I looked at all them and I was like, if you don't want to do this quiz, then don't do it. Like, take the zero. You're old enough now. You're in high school. I can't make you do this. I'm not your parent. I can't grab the pencil for you. If you don't want to do it, then don't do it. Take the zero and fail. But stop yelling at me. Do it or don't, but stop yelling at me. I don't know what else to do. And if I would have heard that a teacher told kids that like a year ago, I'd be like, oh my God, that's just not the way to go about it. Like, you need to love them. I do. And like, these are things they do not prepare you for when you're student teaching or when you're going into education. What do you do when 10, 15, 20 kids are all yelling at you at once? And this is a weekly occurrence. You can't write them all up. You can't call home and be like, hey, your kid sometimes like just yells at me. I don't have time to call all those parents. I'm too drained by the end of the day. And that's like, I'm just going to go home. It's just time to go home. I just want to get home where I'm not around this anymore. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, what else are you supposed to do? Like, I don't know what else to do, but just to be like, okay, you win. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Sure enough, all of them did it. Like, they stopped complaining. They all did it and they stopped complaining. Yeah, this video ran a little bit long, my bad, but it's just, and I'm like, again, this is my fault. This is the end of the year and they should know, they should not talk to me that way, but they don't know that. So that is my fault.
Absolutely room temperature take, but a connection that I did make the other day was the relation between today's parents seeking instant gratification and having no patience, and this generation of children seeking instant gratification and also having no patience. And I think a really good example of this is that today's parents are doing a lot of grocery shopping online, and they're using like Instacart and DoorDash because they don't want to deal with the whole thing of loading the kids up in the car and taking the kids out grocery shopping and the kids screaming and this and that. And that in turn has made it that kids are no longer getting these like small, weekly, limited tests of their patience the way we once upon a time did, where you'd have to be publicly acceptable for an hour, help your parents for an hour, be away from your toys for an hour. And mayhaps because you're demonstrating no patience and the need for instant gratification, and you've taught them iPad before you've taught them the ABCs or how to instill their own patience. Maybe that's why they can't sit through school for 8 hours. Maybe.
So there definitely is a lot of change with the younger generation. It's not everyone across the board, but there are changes because there has been so many changes in recent years. Look at how socialization has changed. Look how technology has changed. Look at some of the parents and how they've changed recently. So we're going to see this, you know, compound and take effect into the younger generations. And I'm not really surprised by a lot of these stories. I do think it's unfortunate. And again, it's not all of Gen Alpha across the board, no way. And a lot of the things that the teachers are describing, I mean, this is in other generations as well, right? So it's not a blanket statement, but there is an issue. And I think it is important to really listen to the teachers that are choosing to speak out about what they're going through and what they're witnessing in the classrooms, because it is important. This is our future generation. So we need to pay attention to that. Thank you guys for watching. Let me know your thoughts down below, and I hope to catch you in the next video. Take care.